ನಮಃ ಪರಮಋಷಿಭ್ಯಃ ಹರಿಃ ಓಂ. ಅಂತರಾಯತಿಮಿ ರೂಪಶಾಂತಯೇ ಶಾಂತಪಾವನಮಚಿಂತ್ಯ ವೈಭವಂ ತನ್ನರಂ ವಪುಷಿ ಕುಂಜರಂ ಮುಖೇ ಮನ್ಮಹೇ ಕಿಮಪಿ ತುಂದಿಲಂ ಮಹಾಂ. ಗುರುರ್ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಾ ಗುರುರ್ವಿಷ್ಣು ಗುರುರ್ದೇವೋ ಮಹೇಶ್ವರಃ ಗುರುಸಾಕ್ಷಾತ್ ಪರಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರವೇ ನಮಃ. ಈಶ್ವರೋ ಗುರುರಾತ್ಮೇತಿ ಮೂರ್ತಿಭೇದ ವಿಭಾಗಿನೇ ವ್ಯೋಮವದ್ವ್ಯಾಪ್ತದೇಹಾಯ ದಕ್ಷಿಣಾಮೂರ್ತಯೇ ನಮಃ. ಹರಿಃ ಓಂ. ಆವರ್ತಪುರ್ಯಾಂ ಜನಿತಂ ಪ್ರಪದ್ಯೇ ಪಾಂಡ್ಯೇಶದೇಶೇ ವಿಹೃತಂ ಪ್ರಪದ್ಯೇ ಶೋಣಾಚಲಪ್ರಸ್ಥಚಲಂ ಪ್ರಪದ್ಯೇ ಭಿಕ್ಷುಂ ತಪಃಕ್ಲೇಶಸಹಂ ಪ್ರಪದ್ಯೇ ಆಬ್ರಹ್ಮಕೀಟಾಂತಸಮಂ ಪ್ರಪದ್ಯೇ ಜಿತಾರಿಷಡ್ವರ್ಗಮಹಂ ಪ್ರಪದ್ಯೇ ಸರ್ವಜ್ಞತಾಸಾರಭೃತಂ ಪ್ರಪದ್ಯೇ ನಿಸ್ಸೀಮಕಾರುಣ್ಯನಿಧಿಂ ಪ್ರಪದ್ಯೇ ಅಸ್ಮಾತ್ ಪ್ರಪಂಚಾದಧಿಕಂ ಪ್ರಪದ್ಯೇ ವಿಶ್ವಾಧಿಕೋಕ್ತೇರ್ವಿಷಯಂ ಪ್ರಪದ್ಯೇ ಕಾಲಗ್ರಹಗ್ರಾಹಭಯಾಪನುತ್ತೀಕೃತಾಂತಶಿಕ್ಷಾಕೃತಿನಂ ಪ್ರಪದ್ಯೇ ವಿನೇತುಮಾರ್ತಿಂ ವಿಷಯಾಧ್ವಜನ್ಯಾಂ ವಿಜ್ಞಾನಮೂರ್ತಿಂ ದಧತಂ ಪ್ರಪದ್ಯೇ ಕಂದರ್ಪದರ್ಪಜ್ವರವಾರಣಾಯ ಕಮಾರಿಲೀಲಾವತರಂ ಪ್ರಪದ್ಯೇ ಆಜನ್ಮವರ್ಣಿವ್ರತಿನಂ ಪ್ರಪದ್ಯೇ ಕುಂಡೀಭೃತಂ ದಂಡಧರಂ ಪ್ರಪದ್ಯೇ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಾಸನಧ್ಯಾನರತಂ ಪ್ರಪದ್ಯೇ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಾತ್ಮಭೂಯಂ ಯತಿನಂ ಪ್ರಪದ್ಯೇ ಹರಂ ಪ್ರಪದ್ಯೇ ವಿಜರಂ ಪ್ರಪದ್ಯೇ ಸ್ವತಂತ್ರತಾಯಾಃ ಸದನಂ ಪ್ರಪದ್ಯೇ ಅಮೇಯ ಸಾಮರ್ಥ್ಯವಹಂ ಪ್ರಪದ್ಯೇ ವಿಶುದ್ಧ ವಿಜ್ಞಾನಿವರಂ ಪ್ರಪದ್ಯೇ ದೌರ್ಭಾಗ್ಯತಾಪತ್ರಯಕರ್ಮಮೋಹ ಸಂತಾಪಹಂತಾರಮಹಂ ಪ್ರಪದ್ಯೇ ಯಥಾರ್ಥಸಂಕಲ್ಪಮಪೇತಪಾಪಂ ಅವಾಪ್ತಕಾಮಂ ವಿಶುಚಂ ಪ್ರಪದ್ಯೇ ಮನಃಪ್ರಸಾದಂ ಭಜತಾಂ ದದಾನಂ ಮುಗ್ಧಸ್ಮಿತೋಲ್ಲಾಸಿ ಮುಖಂ ಪ್ರಪದ್ಯೇ ವ್ಯಥಾಮಶೇಷಾಂ ವ್ಯಪನೀಯ ಮೋದಪ್ರತೇನ ನಾಮ್ನಾ ರಮಣಂ ಪ್ರಪದ್ಯೇ ಶಿವಂ ಪ್ರಪದ್ಯೇ ಶಿವದಂ ಪ್ರಪದ್ಯೇ ಗುರುಂ ಪ್ರಪದ್ಯೇ ಗುಣಿನಂ ಪ್ರಪದ್ಯೇ ಮದೀಯ ಹೃತ್ಪದ್ಮಜುಷಂ ಪ್ರಪದ್ಯೇ ಶರಣ್ಯಮೀಶಂ ಶರಣಂ ಪ್ರಪದ್ಯೇ. ಅರುಣಾಚಲವರರ್ಕೇಟ್ರ ಅಕ್ಷರಮಣಮಾಲೈಸಾಟ್ರ ಕರುಣಾಕರ ಗಣಪತಿಯೇ ಕರಮರುಳಿ ಕಾಪಾಯಿ. ಅರುಣಾಚಲ ಶಿವ ಅರುಣಾಚಲ ಶಿವ ಅರುಣಾಚಲ ಶಿವ ಅರುಣಾಚಲ ಅರುಣಾಚಲ ಶಿವ ಅರುಣಾಚಲ ಶಿವ ಅರುಣಾಚಲ ಶಿವ ಅರುಣಾಚಲ. ಕೈಯೇ ನಿರ್ಕ ನೀವುನ್ಮೈ ರಸಂ ಕುಂಡುವ ಗೈ ವೆರಿ ಕೊಳವರುಳ್ ಅರುಣಾಚಲ. ಕುಡಿಯಿಟ್ಟಡಿಯರೆ ಕುಲ್ಲುನೈ ಕಟ್ಟಿ ಕೊಂಡೆಂಗನ್ ವಾಳ್ವೇನ್ ಅರುಣಾಚಲ. ಕೋಪಮಿಲ್ ಗುಣತ್ತೋಯ್ ಕುರಿಯಾಯನೈ ಕೊಳ ಕುರಯನ್ ಶೈತೇನ್ ಅರುಣಾಚಲ. ಗೌತಮರ್ಪೋತ್ರುಂ ಕರುಣೈ ಮಾಮಲಯೇ ಕಡೈ ಕಣಿತಾಳ್ವಾಯ್ ಅರುಣಾಚಲ. ಸಕಲಮು ವಿಳುಂಗುಂ ಕದಿರೊಳಿಯಿನ ಮನ ಜಲಜಮಲರ್ತೀಡ ಅರುಣಾಚಲ. ಶಾಪಾಡುನ್ನೈ ಶಾಂದುಣವಾಯಾನ್ ಶಾಂತಮಾಯ್ಪೋವನ್ ಅರುಣಾಚಲ. சித்தம் குளிரகதிரஸ்தம் வைத்தமுதவாயை திர அருண்மதி அருணாச்சல சீரையழித்து நிர்வாணமாய் செய்தருள் சீரையழித்தருள் அருணாச்சல சுகக்கடல் பொங்க சொல்லுணர்வடங்கம் சும்மா பொருந்திடங்கருணாச்சலாம் சூது செய்தன்னை சோதியாதி நீ உன் ஜோதி உரு காட்டருணாச்சலாம் அருணாச்சல சிவ அருணாச்சல சிவ அருணாச்சல சிவ அருணாச்சலாம் அருணாச்சல சிவ அருணாச்சல சிவ அருணாச்சல சிவ அருணாச்சல கிராண்ட் மீ யுவர் கிரேஸ் தட் ஐ மே ட்ரிங்க் இன் த இன்டாக்சிகேட்டிங் liquor of the juices of yourself, which is like a sweet grape in the palm of my hand, and lie inebriated with bliss. This is the new translation of Aksharabana Malai, Muruganar Swami's commentary. The verse that we saw yesterday, கையினிற் கனி, they have translated it as like a sweet grape in the palm. Almost that grape will come to the size of Indian amalaka. So giving a worldly example to show us that self-realization or the experience of self is very intimate. They have given the example of kaiyinir kani. But in Atmavidya Kirtanam, பகவான் சேஸ் கையாமலக கனி பொய்யாயொழிய மிகுமையாய் உளது ஆன்மா. தேர் பகவான் சேஸ் திஸ் ஃப்ரூட் இன் ஹேண்ட் இஸ் எ மிஸ்டைரக்டிங் எக்ஸாம்பிள் பிகாஸ் தெர் இஸ் எ டிஸ்டன்ஸ் பிட்வீன் யூ அண்ட் த ஃப்ரூட். So in Atmavidya Kirtanam, Bhagavan says, Kayyamalakakkani poyyayoliya. That even that Kayyamalakakkani, that fruit in hand, is falsehood. Migumayyay uladu anma. That Atma, the self, is so direct, so immediate. It is always experienced by all. சர்வைஹி சர்வதா சர்வதா அனுபூயதே ஆத்மானு சர்வானுபூஹு. எல்லாரும் அனுபவிக்கிறது, எல்லோரும். பகவான் சேஸ் எவ்ரி ஒன் ஹேஸ் த எக்ஸ்பீரியன்ஸ் ஆஃப் த செல்ஃப். ஸோ டு ஷோ அஸ் தட் இட் இஸ் தட் டைரக்ட் இம்மீடியேட், பகவான் யூசஸ் த வேர்ட் கையாமலக கனி. அண்ட் டு நோ த செல்ஃப் இஸ் டு நோ காட். டு எக்ஸ்பீரியன்ஸ் த செல்ஃப் இஸ் டு எக்ஸ்பீரியன்ஸ் அருணாச்சலா. இன் ஒன் பிளேஸ் இன் டாக்ஸ் பகவான் சேஸ் if you are seeking a god away, separate from the self, he will turn to be a selfless god.
Because anything that is eternal, permanent, must be experienced in self. The Upanishad says, Bhidyade Hridaya Granthihi. All the knots of ignorance will be broken, cut asunder. Chidyande Sarva Samshayaha. All doubts will cease to exist. All the doubts will be annihilated. Chiyante cha asya karmani. All his actions will come to an end. Tasmin drishte paravare. When you see that Brahman, that supreme being in your own self, drishtayeva atmani ishvare. Like a commentary in Srimad Bhagavatam, the same verse comes with a small difference. Drishtayeva atmani ishvare. When you realize God as your own self, then all doubts ceases to exist because the doubter himself disappears. That is why Bhagavan, out of compassion, he never answered, generally never answered doubts. If you ask, Bhagavan will come back with a question, who is the doubter? So certain devotees, they named it as Bhagavan's missile, Brahmastra. So they will say, Bhagavan, if you are not using that weapon, we will ask. Because if you use that weapon, we cannot further proceed. But Bhagavan is helping you to know that the doubter himself is not real. In Srimad Bhagavatam, the last portion, when Sri Krishna is about to leave the world, his very dear disciple Uddhava is asking questions and Krishna is answering. After a very long question and answer session, Uddhava says, Bhagavan, I now find that these doubts never stop arising. Again and again doubt arises in me. Please show me your mercy and remove all the doubts. There Lord says, Uddhava, a small little entity arises from a cave. This is a very mysterious verse there. Sayesha jivo vivara prasutihi. That jiva arises from the heart and it appears to be real and it asks questions and it is seeking answer, all the while its own existence is not real. If you seek the jiva itself, the jiva will disappear, the individual sense will disappear, and you will see that, Uddhava, what remains there is me. And Krishna says with that godhood, you will see that you are not there. Only I exist there. One great devotee, Namadeva, in one of his abhang, his songs, he is singing to Lord Vithal. He says, O Lord, all these days I was thinking that the I in me is me. Now my guru, my master, Vishobha Kechari has placed his feet on my head. And now I know that the I in me is you. The I in me is no more this limited entity, this limited individual. It is like the space inside the pot appears to be the pot space, the pot gives an appearance that it has imprisoned the space. But the space is the infinite, the divisionless infinite space. The pot cannot limit it. You need not break the pot to release the space. Actually, the pot cannot happen in the space because every dust in the pot is filled with space. Space alone is there, the pot is not there. So when you know the self, you will come to know that self alone is there, the body is not there. When Bhagavan was suffering in sarcoma with cancer, his body was having terrible, excruciating pain. And one devotee said, remembered an anecdote, an incident in Bhagavan's life. When Bhagavan was in the hill, Virupaksha cave or somewhere above, one day Bhagavan was lifting a big rock. Suddenly it fell on Bhagavan's hand and one of his fingers just became loose, completely got dislocated, got separated. And one devotee, Vasudeva Shastri, who was with Bhagavan, started screaming, Bhagavan, what has happened to your finger? Bhagavan said, hey, keep quiet. Bhagavan said, simply did it like this. It got stuck there. His mere touch can heal. So, if Bhagavan has a sankalpa, he can heal himself. So, all the devotees, they wanted Bhagavan himself to heal his disease. But they had no courage to approach Bhagavan with that. So they somehow requested Bhagavan's sister, younger sister Alamelu, to pray to Bhagavan and ask Bhagavan to cure himself. So Bhagavan's sister went near Bhagavan and stood there. They never felt, see, Bhagavan's mother or Bhagavan's sister, they never felt that this is my son or this is my brother. They saw Lord himself there. They didn't see another person, a relative. It was not simply, it was impossible. So she was standing there. Bhagavan but considered her only as his sister. That was very natural. So Bhagavan asked Alamelu, "Enna?" And she said, "Bhagavan, we have a prayer to you." See, all devotees, they feel so much pain seeing your physical suffering. Why don't you cure yourself? If you simply put your hand in that place, it will get healed. That is our faith. Why don't you do it? Bhagavan smiled and said, Alamelu, you know what you are saying? To do that, first I should think that I have a body. Then I should think there is a disease in my body. It is not healing. I have to cure it. Then I have to take my hand and put it there and wish for healing. To do all this, where is mind for me? No further request is possible. Bhagavan himself in Ulladinarpadar, in 40 verses he says, you cannot with your mind infer the state of a jnani. Anniyam undrum ariyar avar nilamai. the state of that Advaita state, where there is no other, where there is no body. That bodilessness is not a state actually, it is the nature of the self. Bhagavan did not say, I attained bodilessness. In talk, somebody is asking about bodilessness to Bhagavan. Bhagavan, they say that when a jnani realizes, he attains the state of bodilessness. You know what is Bhagavan's answer? Bhagavan says, bodilessness is a foregone conclusion. This is Bhagavan's answer. If you know the self, you will come to know that there is no body in the self. Every day in deep sleep, you are having the experience of it. There is no body there. There is no ego. There is no intellect. There is no world. There is no you. After waking from that state, everyone wants to go back. Why? What did you experience in that state? Who experienced? It's a universal wish. It's not simply Hindus or Muslims or Christians, no difference. Everyone, if you have to wake up 4 o'clock in the morning, if you wake up by hearing some sound, you wake up 2 o'clock and look at the timepiece, it is only 2 o'clock. You have woken up from very deep sleep. It was very sweet. And you have 2 more hours to sleep. What will you do? Without even thinking, go back. A joy comes. In comparison with this waking state, why do you choose that state where you have nothing? In this waking state, you have this world. You are somebody. You have this body. You have this mind. You can become someone. You can own many things. But that deep sleep state is every day giving you a taste of a state where you are nothing. Where the body is not. Where the mind is not. Where the world is not. Pardon me for saying that, your imagined God is also not. Apart from the self, nothing exists, and the self that you consider yourself to be, the self that you take yourself to be, is also not there. See, this is the way of manana, reflection. If you in this way go on contemplating, somehow you will glide into that state, in this very waking state. If you go on contemplating this, somehow your inner intelligence will glide into that plane, that realm, where you naturally landed in sleep. See, sleep is natural. Anything that nature gives is nature's. It is not yours. Rain, only when nature gives, you will get. Daytime, only when nature gives, you will get. So to this deep sleep, sushupti, nature gives you and you have it. But it is not constant. But samadhi is knowing it consciously by reflecting on that state, somehow inwardly a current begins in your awareness, which starts flowing towards that ground in the waking state. And by constant reflection, you learn to abide in that no body state, no mind substratum, no ego state. Consciously, and there is no contradiction. You are there, and the world is here, the body is here, the mind is here, the person is here, like the cinema in a screen. You, by awareness, you know that cinema has nothing to do with the screen. It cannot touch the screen. The screen remains uncorrupted always. Eppodum ulladav ekanma vastuve. This is Bhagavan. Bhagavan gives this example of screen in Ekatma Panchakam. Chittirathukku aadhara vastu. Chitretra lokyam cha vilokita cha patah prakashopi abhavatsa ekaha. Sadarshanam. உள்ளதின் ஆர்ப்பது. So when you know that, consciously you come to know that ground, that bhumika. Patanjali uses the word bhumika, that bhumika labha. When you regain that ground in which all these appearances arise, remain and merge, and learn to abide in it, that joy comes, that peace of the self you have while living. That is what Bhagavan said, uvagai virigi, the delight of atmanubhuti. Atmanubhava is there. We can, if necessary, we can use two words in Sanskrit. One is anubhava, that is general. Everyone has the experience of I. But what is jnani having? He is having anubhuti. We can use those two words if necessary. Anubhava and anubhuti. Anubhava is general, samanya satta. Anubhuti is you know it by knowledge, you own it by shraddha, and you abide there. Then it is like extracting the juice of the fruit, tasting the juice of the fruit, having the delicious taste of that ethereal fruit. Kayyinil kanivun meirasam kundu உவகை வெறி கொட அருள் அருணாச்சல. ஸோ ஹியர் பகவான் இஸ் கிவிங் அஸ் ஏ கிரேட் ப்ரேயர் ஃபார் ஏ ஸ்பிரிச்சுவல் சீக்கர். சி, வென் வி டூ ஆத்ம விசார, செல்ஃப் என்கொயரி, இட் இஸ் நாட் லைக் கெமிஸ்ட்ரி, ஃபிசிக்ஸ் ஆர் எனி திங். Simply hydrogen and oxygen, water, you cannot do like that. There should be heart. That is why hardha vidya, it is not intellect vidya. It is the hardha vidya. Yasya deve para bhakti hi, yatha deve tatha gurau, tasyete kathita hyarthaha prakashante mahatmanaha. This is a verse which is constantly quoted by Shankaracharya. Yasya deve para bhakti, one who has absolute devotion to the Lord. Yatha deve tatha gurau, as he has devotion to the Lord, with the same bhava he has devotion to the guru. To him, tasya yete hyarthaha, these secrets hidden in the scriptures will be clear like daylight. Prakashante mahatmanah. So that devotion, that bhakti, you know, Bhakti to whom? Bhakti to the inner self, to the Atman, whom you consider as Guru or the Lord, Ishwaro, Guruhu, Atmeti, Murti Bheda Vibhagini, Vyomavad Vyapta Dehaya Dakshina Murtaye Nama. So, that self, you have to pray to the inner being, grant me the grace, reveal from within, so that I will recognize your grandeur. I will come to know my real nature. So here, Bhagavan has given us that verse, Kayinil Kani, Un Meirasam Kundu. Meirasam also means true joy. Because any joy that you get from the world is poirasam. It comes and goes. It is only limited. There is an example which is given in Vedanta that a dog got a piece of bone from somewhere. Oh, it started biting the bone. Suddenly its own tongue got cut and blood was oozing out. This dog thought that the blood is coming from the bone. This is our story. When we see something outside, we get a joy. And we think that joy is coming from that object. While the joy arises from the self. The outer object only became a cause for provoking it, invoking it, kindling that joy. So the joy is always from the self. Because the very nature of the self is joy. That is why in deep sleep you never have suffering. You can have suffering in waking state, that we know. In dream also it is quite possible you can have suffering. But if there is anyone who has suffered in deep sleep, please raise your hand. It is impossible, because suffering cannot penetrate beyond the mind. Only in the body and mind you can suffer. Beyond that, the Upanishad says, there is an impenetrable wall there. You cannot penetrate and go beyond that wall and suffer. Because there, the person who is suffering is not there. And only some deep fulfillment is there, that too not tasted by the ego, but the self is experiencing its own nature by its own intelligence. Not by the brain, not by the mind. By its own intelligence, its own light, it is experiencing. Don't make the mistake that deep sleep is ignorance. See, as I said yesterday, contradiction is there. In Vedanta, both views are there. In one view, we say there is avarana. When we ask why we are not able to see what is happening in deep sleep, we say avarana, that veiling, that is from waking state. But in deep sleep, if you inquire in that state, there is no avarana. No avarana is possible in the self. It is ever effulgent, self-effulgent, swayam prakasha. And it is joy. And once you recognize that, happiness is your real nature. Peace is your real nature. Fulfillment is you. These are all Bhagavan's Mahavakyas. In talks, if you look at Bhagavan's words, somebody asks Bhagavan, what is self-realization? Bhagavan says, mere I is self-realization. Existence is self-realization. Existence is realization. These are all Bhagavan's words. To be is realization. That irup. So the very nature of the self is realization. No ignorance is possible in it. So once you know, once you recognize it, that happiness is your real nature. When you know it by your own awareness, you don't need your body or mind or senses to be happy. Once you know that unconditional happiness, then it is always with you. That is why Bhagavan says, Uvagai veri kula arul arunachala. O Arunachala, shower thy grace and make me intoxicated. That is the word they have used, but our KVS used to say that word has a wrong note. We should use only ecstasy or delight. The translation is intoxication, but you should have that delight, that ecstasy of the self. No toxin in it. There is no toxin in it. It's pure ananda, shanti, that peace. So here raso vaisaha, the Upanishad says, the commentary they have given that mantra, raso vaisaha. The Upanishad says rasa means joy, and the Upanishad says rasa is the nature of the self, ananda is the nature of the self. In Taittiriya Upanishad there is an exploration where from everything arises, in what everything remains, and to which everything goes back. First day, the disciple goes and meditates and comes back and tells his master, "Master, I have found that everything arises from matter and remains in matter and goes back as matter." Then the guru asks him, "Are you happy by this finding out?" See, people, they have some scientific answer. Everything comes from matter. If it gives you completion, it's okay. Are you happy with it? No. Then go back. Then he goes back and comes and tells, "Now I have found some energy behind it, the prana. So everything arises from the prana and ultimately goes back to the prana." Then, "Are you happy?" He says, "As long as it is there, some kind of energy is there, but it doesn't remain permanently." Then he finds out mind, then vijnana, knowledge, intelligence, and ultimately the disciple finds out anando brahmeti vyajanate. Anandadeva khalvimani bhutani jayante. Anandena jatani jivanti. Anandam prayanti abhisamvishanti. From ananda everything arises, in bliss everything remains, and unto that fulfillment everything goes back. So that fulfillment, after attaining it, the disciple never came back to the master to even to thank him. Because there was nobody there. The thing is over. Because once you find inner fulfillment, who is there? Once you have that completion in you, that fulfillment in you, peace. Once you have experienced that real peace, which never leaves you, you will never thereafter wander in the world.
wander in the world of matter or wander in the world of knowledge or wander in the world of seeking. You become complete. Madhu undavandu pol. They have quoted a verse here. It says, those who have found it, they did not even care to describe it. Like the honeybee, it will make sound. It will make sound. But once it starts drinking the honey, there will be no sound. Like that, once the inner flower has blossomed, the mind like a honeybee has entered that flower and started drinking that elixir, that nectar, the honeybee will lose itself in that nectar. It will not come back. Madhuvunda vandu pol. Muruganar Swami puts that example here. Madhuvunda vandu pol. Narada Bhakti Sutra also, there is the same example. Mukhaswadavat. So, after this verse, we had a very long commentary on this verse. There, one shloka has also been translated. I know myself no more, nor days nor nights recurrence. As Manikavachakar says, in that experience of the self, there is neither day nor night, which Bhagavan also says in Aksharamana Malai, Rappagalilla Veruveli Veetil Ramithiduvumva Arunachala. Many times Bhagavan used to say, in those days when he was in Gurumurtam, Pavijakundru, sometimes I will open my eyes, it will be day. Sometimes I will open my eyes, it will be night. Even after coming to ashram, Bhagavan used to remain merged in that Nirvikalpa Samadhi. Annamalai Swami and Kunja Swami, all of them have reported, we used to blow a conch in Bhagavan's ears to wake him up. Because they were hungry. After Veda Parayana, Bhagavan will completely go into that state. So, Madhuvunda Vandupol. So, in this verse, Bhagavan makes us pray to the inner self to reveal its grandeur, its glory. So next verse, Kodiyit Adiyarai Kollunai Kattikkondengan Vaazhven Arunachala. See, we have a doubt. After realization, that is always, Bhagavan discouraged that question. Because people will ask, what will happen after realization? All these systems, like Vishishtadvaita, Advaita, Ashuddhadvaita, all these, the so-called schools of thought. I don't know why they call it schools. The schools of thought, it has come from discussing about what happens after realization. So Bhagavan very easily dismisses this question. He says, let us look about it after. Why are you bothered about it? Because Ramanuja or Madhva, everyone accepts self-realization, Atma-Sakshatkara. The discussion is only after that what happens. Why are you bothered about it now? First you do the first stage. Even about Aurobindo, devotees will ask, what is common between your teaching and Aurobindo's? Bhagavan will say, Aurobindo accepts surrender. We also accept. After surrender, let us see what happens. First you surrender. After that, let us see what happens. Why do you bother yourself about what will happen after that? So,
Here, naturally a question arises. After realization, even Paul Brendon got terrified, because Bhagavan said, if you inquire the eye will disappear. He got shocked. He said, disappear? If eye goes, what is the use of living? And Bhagavan said, no, it doesn't matter, because you are not that eye. Only then you will find who you really are. You have identified with something which you are not, and you are afraid that it will go. It is like somebody putting a dress in drama, and after that drama he thinks, if I remove this dress I will lose my identity. So this is only your image. It is not real. If you erase that image, the real you will reveal itself. So don't fear. So in this next verse, Bhagavan is asking Arunachala, unai kattikondu. In Tamil, kattikondu also means embracing. It also means getting married. The entire Aksharamana Mala is like a vadhu vara, like this Gopika Geetam. So here Bhagavan is telling Arunachala, how can I remain with you as your wife? It is impossible, because if I get united with you, I will cease to exist. It is like a doll made by cotton wanting to embrace fire. It is like camphor desiring to embrace fire. It is like a salt doll which is wishing to take a bath in ocean. Can it come back? Will it come back to report? Thillai veliyinil kalandu kondar avar thirumbavum varuvaro. So here Bhagavan is asking Arunachala, Arunachala, owing death to the ego of thy votaries, to stand opposed to your devotees as if you raise the flag of battle to kill them without killing is your firm resolve. Having married you, how will I survive after that as a person, as an individual soul like the rest, and not dying? Kodiyittadiyare, this kodi means flag. Arunachala has a flag. Flag is always a symbol. And we don't know what is there in Arunachala's flag. Bhagavan says, perhaps a big sword. Whoever comes here will be cut. Or you can say fire. Whoever comes here will be burnt. Will be finished. Kodi it. You have this kodi, you know. It is in for the wandering sadhus in north. If you go in ashrams, from distance itself you can see a flag, and the flag is an invitation to you that if you go there you will get bhiksha, you will get food, so that this sadhu can go there and have bhiksha. So Arunachala also is having a flag. I'll join another verse where Bhagavan says, seeing that flag, this sadhu will think that there is food there, shapadu. Here is food. That flag is there. Without thinking, the devotee goes there, but the meaning is, what Arunachala means is, you are my food. It doesn't mean food will be given to you, but you come, I will eat you. See, somebody asked another person, do you want to eat, take food with me? He said, yes, then I will come to your house. So Arunachala's flag says, here is food. Shapad unnai sharndu unavayen. Is shapad, food is here. And unaware this devotee goes there. See, about a few years back, about 8-9 years back, I don't know whether you Westerners might be aware of that incident. In India, suddenly one morning, everywhere in India, all these Ganapati statues started drinking milk. Have you heard about it? Ganapati statues, we don't know whether it is a mere propaganda or really it happened. I also gave milk to a Ganapati. I wanted the Ganapati to take milk. So I felt that Ganapati took it. The whole body of Ganapati was sweating with milk. So one day it happened. So every Ganapati temple was filled with devotees with milk bottle, giving milk to that Vinayaka. So if the temple idol starts taking prasad, we will be happy. Suppose if the temple idol starts eating the priest, what will happen? You can offer something, but the person who is offering, if he is swallowed, this is a common example, epithet given. In Bhagavatam also, these gopikas, you know, there is one Bhramara Gitam in Bhagavatam, where the gopikas, these devotees, they are telling, you should never go anywhere near Krishna. You should not listen to his stories. Nobody has survived after hearing his stories. In all other Puranas, it is written that if you read this Purana, you will get wealth, you will get children, you will get good family life. All these results will be given so that people will read. But these gopikas say, don't ever read Bhagavatam. If you start reading this Krishna story, what will happen, you know? You will lose your job, you will lose your money, you will lose your family life, you will torture your head, walk about in the streets. That is what everyone is afraid of. See, Muruganar was one of Bhagavan's very close devotees. He was having a very peaceful family life in Chennai. He was a school teacher, Tamil teacher. From his very childhood, he was carrying a dream that there is a story of Saint Manikavachagar. In his life, Lord Shiva himself appears and gives him darshan as the guru, as the master. The story is like this, that this saint was a minister. See, he was a politician. He was a minister to the king of Madurai. So one day this king ordered this saint to go to the seashore where many horses have come. So to buy high quality horse, this minister was going there with lot of money. He had no intention to meet a guru, to enter spiritual life. But inwardly he was a sadhaka, he was a devotee. So he was going there in his chariot. In one place, when they camped, when he got down from his chariot, suddenly he saw a radiant being sitting under a tree with many other disciples around him. The moment he saw, he didn't see a person, he saw Shiva himself is sitting here. See, all his followers, who were, many were following him, they also saw that person, but they didn't recognize. They thought some Swami is sitting, some Guru is sitting, that's all. But Manikyavachagar is wondering about his own recognition of that person. The power which made him recognize that this is not an ordinary person. He was wondering about that power which woke up inside him, which told him that this is not a person, this is God himself. Shivan avan yana therinan kaanga. He says, I saw that he is Shiva. How was I enabled to see Lord in him? While all others saw only an ordinary person, I saw Shiva himself there. And he went there, he was initiated, and the story goes like this, that he lost all his minister job. Whatever money he brought, he with that money, instead of buying horse, he built a big temple. And he was arrested naturally, put in jail, tortured, lot of troubles. And ultimately Lord comes, reveals himself, rescues him, and then he becomes a great saint. So this story had great influence on Muruganar. He somehow inwardly identified himself with Manikyavachagar. So he thought, Lord Shiva will appear in my life also to initiate me. That was something which was hidden in him. But through his fighting for survival, he got a job and he was living. He just forgot, he just pushed it to the background of the unconscious mind. And one day, one person came with a book. You know who that person is? He is Muruganar's wife, Meenakshi Amma, her father. He came with a book of Bhagavan and gave it to his son-in-law and said, see, this is Ramana Maharshi. That father-in-law thought, if his son-in-law, if he goes to Maharshi, he will become a big poet and very wealthy perhaps. But in the process, he lost his son-in-law. Because he gave Bhagavan's photo and Bhagavan's Aksharamanamalai and Who Am I in Tamil. The moment he saw Bhagavan's photo, he was transported, lost. As Manikyavachagar said, Shivan avanena therinan kaanka, Muruganar himself, even before seeing Bhagavan sings, the Lord has come down leaving Kailas. Leaving Kailas, Lord has come down to redeem me. And he came here, wrote 10 verses as an offering to Bhagavan. And when he came inside ashram, Bhagavan was waiting for him. He could not even read those verses. The moment Bhagavan looked at him, later on in Muruganar's life, when journalist had an interview with him, he asked, Swami, what sadhana you did to realize? You know what Muruganar said? Sadhana? My guru did not give me time even to close my eyes. Before I could close my eyes, the thing was over. The moment I saw Bhagavan, it was over. Nambattahada poinyalattai nambi nambi. செம்பரமாதுண்டு சிவானுபவ சிவானுபவத்தை நான் இழந்தேன், என் பிறவி துன்பமர மீட்டனக்கு நல்குதினம் எம்பெருமானந்த பேரின்பவியர் செம்பதமே. த லார்ட் கேம் அண்ட் கேவ் மீ தட் க்ளோரியஸ் ஸ்டேட் அண்ட் ஸ்டாப்டு மை ரீபர்த், புட் ஏ ஸ்டாப் டு மை ரீபர்த். ஸோ ஆஃப்டர் தேட் After that, after seeing Bhagavan, after getting that also, he went back to Chennai, worked in school for some more time because he was very attached to his mother, not to his wife. He was very attached to his mother. So as long as his mother was alive, he wanted to be with her. See, they didn't want to come and live with Bhagavan, but the power was so irresistible. See, it is like a magnet attracting an iron filings. When you look, you will feel as if this iron filing is rushing towards magnet, but actually this iron is not at all making any move. It is actually resisting the power of the magnet. It is resisting the power of the magnet, but magnet with its power is overpowering it and pushing it, pulling it. That is what is happening. Like that, these devotees, they wanted to lead an ordinary life, but they could not. So don't again unawarely enter into spiritual life. Go back to the place where you came, live an ordinary happy life, because this is very dangerous. But you are already into it. No, you cannot go back. At least tell others. See, in Tukaram's life, there is a beautiful incident where Shivaji comes to see Tukaram. Tukaram was a great saint. He was a family man, but all the while in that world, in the plane of devotion, singing and dancing. So Shivaji, the King Shivaji with that royal attire, came to see Saint Tukaram, and his poor wife was there. Suffering, married to this saint, lot of trouble, and this king comes there and asks, where is Tukaram? Instead of answering, Tukaram's wife says, you look like a rich man, why are you inquiring him? See, it is very dangerous, already my life is spoiled. Don't stand here, run. She says, don't stand here, go. Because already I have lost my life. Why do you unnecessarily come here? You look like a very rich, comfortable person. Don't run behind him. You will lose everything. So Muruganar wanted to go back. So he every time he came to see Bhagavan, somebody had to drop him in railway station. Because he will go to railway station, come back to ashram. He will miss the train. One day Bhagavan said, please see that he gets into the train. Somebody went and put him in the train. He jumped from the train. See, that much of that fascination for Bhagavan's presence. So ultimately he left everything. After his mother's passing away, he became a sannyasi. He lost everything. Lived in Bhiksham. First he was getting food in ashram. And you know, ashram cannot always keep devotees. So one day somebody told, you cannot always take food in ashram. So he went to Bhagavan and said, Bhagavan, they say I cannot always take food from ashram. Now the only way for me is to take alms, bhiksha. He thought Bhagavan will tell ashram management to give him food. He said, Bhagavan, I should take bhiksha only. There is no other way. Bhagavan said, that is very good. And gave him guidance where to take bhiksha, how to take bhiksha. Because that is the most sacred thing to do. That is the purest of food. Go and take, he said. So Muruganar, after coming to Bhagavan, he wrote many verses like this. See, living with you, I lost everything. And in one verse, Muruganar says, you are a Brahmin. He is telling Bhagavan, you are born in a very sacred lineage of Parashara, sage Parashara. You are a Brahmin. And why are you behaving like a butcher? Payilum talam yetuvo kolai payil vittavar yavaro. Who taught you to kill? Born as a Brahmin, from where you learned this art of killing devotees? The moment they come, they are over, finished. Payilum talam yetuvo kolai payil vittavar yavaro dayayin swarupam thangi andanar peru marabhan. A Brahmin should be compassionate, merciful. Instead of that, you are killing. And in another verse he said, Bhagavan was cutting vegetables. He also joined one day. And Bhagavan was very perfect, always perfect in every action. So he was doing it in a very perfect way. Yoga karma sukaushalam. Anything Bhagavan did will be perfection. So perfectly, precisely he was cutting vegetables. Muruganar simply wanted to be with Bhagavan. So he also went there in the pretext of cutting vegetables. But he could not do any job. After having that effect of Bhagavan's grace, he could not even do puja. One day somebody asked him to do puja in that inner shrine, mother shrine. The problem with him is, if he uses the bell, he could not do arati. If he does arati, this will stop. Both, he could not synchronize. He lost it. So he was cutting vegetable with Bhagavan, throwing everything pell-mell. All chaos. Bhagavan was narrating some story, some incident in his life. He was lost with tears. He was listening. After that process was over, then Bhagavan looked at what Muruganar has did. It was all total chaos there. Then Bhagavan said, see, the way you have cut vegetables looks very much like your family life. You have made a mess of your family life. Like that, your vegetable cutting is also like that. Muruganar said, who is responsible for that? Who is responsible for that? So he wrote, you know how to run a family very well. Why don't you get married and lead a family life? He wrote a verse like that to Bhagavan. With that love, he wrote a verse in which said, why do you move about in Tiruvannamalai as a beggar? You could have led a family life. I am not able to do it. So these all songs, they are in a sweet way expressing that state where the moment light comes, darkness goes. You need not drive darkness. You need not remove the non-essentials. It will just fall away the moment truth comes. The very nature of that jnana is it makes space. Jnanam sannyasa lakshanam. Shankaracharya said, jnana is the real sign of sannyasa. You can say in both ways. Jnanam sannyasa lakshanam means only if you have jnana, you are a sannyasi. In another way, the very characteristic, the swabhava of jnana, the nature of jnana is it makes you give up everything non-essential, everything that is not necessary. Because when you have light, you see what is not necessary for you, naturally you give up. You have to. Renunciation born from inner awakening. When the inner awakening comes, it compels you to renounce that is not necessary for you, that is non-essential for you. So here Bhagavan says, Kodi tadi arai kollu nai. Whoever devotee who comes to you, you just finish him off. How can I live with you? Kattikkondu engan vaalven Arunachala. No more can I live as a person once I have come to you. Only you are there, I don't exist. Actually, this is a mantra. Ramakrishna Paramahamsa used to say, in sadhana, when you find a difficult period, when you are not able to handle, this is a powerful mantra. You can say, Lord, I do not exist, you alone exist. Naham, naham, tvam, tvam. I do not exist, you alone exist. I do not exist, you alone exist. This body is yours, this mind is yours. I belong to you. Just try that. You will see a higher power encroaching your system, holding you. The moment you give yourself to him, the moment you somehow play yourself into his hands, you will be free. Kodiyittadiyarai kollunai kattikkondengan vaalven Arunachala. So Arunachala, by his boundless grace, removes the jiva hood, the ego. It is impossible to erase the ego by any self-imposed spiritual practice. Whatever sadhana we may do, the sadhaka will be there. The person will be there. Whatever you do, the individual is there. That is why the master ultimately comes and tells you, chumma iru. Keep quiet. This is Arunachala's teaching. Keep quiet. He gave that teaching to Bhagavan also, to Arunagirinathar also. That is the only teaching he knows. And he reveals it by being a hill. Maunam. Maunam is not verbal silence. Maunam nama sarva anatma pratyaya tiraskaranam, says Shankaracharya. Mauna means to give up all thought about the non-self. To erase the ego, naan udiyad ulla nilai is maunam. The state where the I does not arise is maunam. So, what the master does is, the greatest revelation of grace is when he tells you, you do not exist. Last time also I told you that anecdote, very interesting anecdote, so I will repeat because many new listeners are here. Swami Ramdas, in one of his conversations, one day, he was a very sweet saint, very delightful, joyful saint. One day morning, he tells his devotees, today you know what happened? From morning onwards, Rama is pestering me. He is constantly walking behind me and telling me, Ramdas, listen. First, I thought he is telling me something new. When I gave my ear, he said, Ramdas, Remember, you don't exist, I alone exist. This Lord came to him and told him what? He said, I alone exist, you don't exist. And then Swami Ramdas, he always refers to himself as Ramdas. So he said, Ramdas said, Ram, when have Ramdas claimed that he exists? He very well knows that you alone exist. So don't, again and again, why are you repeating? No, no, I just wanted to tell you that, that's all. And after that, when he went to breakfast, Ram followed him. And he was taking breakfast, Ram sat near him and told him, Ramdas, remember, I alone exist, you don't exist. See, Ram, you have already told me in the morning, why are you again repeating? I just wanted to tell you, that's all. And afternoon also it happened, evening also it happened. Again Ram came and said, remember, I alone exist, you don't exist. And in when night, Ramdas was about to sleep, this fellow again came. And he said, Ramdas, remember, Papa Ramdas said, I was feeling sleepy. He's here again to tell the old story. Ramdas took a chocolate, a peppermint. The moment Ram opened his mouth, he put the chocolate in his mouth. While he was munching, Ramdas went to sleep. He said, then you know, devotees asked Swami Ramdas, Papa, how did you put the chocolate in Ram's mouth? Swami Ramdas said, Ramdas took a chocolate and put it in his own mouth. That is the story. And Bhava is there. So the Guru comes to tell you that you don't exist, I don't exist. This is the thing. We often forget. He often comes and again repeats, you do not exist. Because the moment you think you are doing, you are the doer, you are the enjoyer, trouble follows. All the suffering comes. The moment you wake up, you recognize that you are not the doer. You are not the enjoyer. That very moment, the inner tap is opened. The sluice gate of joy is opened. Because this I, the doership, like a cap, it closes that opening. Unless we are totally established in that state, we need constant message. Again and again, when we meet some saint, one Mahatma or some book, we are reminded only this, that we don't exist. We don't need a master for knowledge, because knowledge you will get from books. Theoretical knowledge you will get from computer, from internet. Everything, all dirt will come if you put like this. You can download. You don't need a master for it. The Guru comes only to tell you that you don't exist. The moment you know that, the joy comes, the freedom comes, lightness comes. We think that we should be there as a person. The crystallized center is necessary to have joy. Manam konduru power. Bhagavan says those who suffer because of this assumption, this me, Arunachala, manam konduru power, manatai ajit abhimanamiladolir Arunachala. Annihilate their ego and release them. The moment that ego is gone, Arunachala, you will shine forth there. You will reveal your splendor there, your glory there. So we can never do it by ourselves. But the very presence of the Lord will do it. The moment light comes, darkness goes. You cannot fight with darkness and remove it. You cannot chant mantra and take darkness from one place and throw it in another place. Because it doesn't exist. The moment light comes, it goes. The moment the experience comes, the illusion disappears. So one day, one young man came to Bhagavan and said, Bhagavan, you have to give me God realization. You have to give me self-realization. I will strangle my neck and die in front of you. It's very dangerous to be a Swami. See, Bhagavan said, see, all kind of deranged people come to spiritual life. See, one day Swami Satchidananda Ji of Ananda Ashram, he told me, it's very dangerous to have an ashram. From long distance, they come here to commit suicide. And you are in trouble because you are giving room to for them to stay food. They create all trouble. So it's very, very dangerous. What was he telling? Yes, he was strangling his neck. And he said, if you fail to give me realization, I will die. Somewhere he has picked some story where Ramakrishna was cutting his head and Kali appeared. He imagined something like that. So Bhagavan was sitting very quiet, not at all affected. And the devotees who were around, they felt, the fellow is insane. He will do something. But Bhagavan was not at all moving. And after some time, Bhagavan told him, the kadavul darshanam idella namak vendamappa. See, Bhagavan said, seeing God, realizing these things we need not have. Do you know what you should have? The ego which says, I will strangle myself. I will commit suicide. If that I goes, that is it. Only that ego, and you cannot drive that ego out because it is only an appearance. It is an appearance in nature. It is a part and parcel of nature. By simply fighting with the ego, you cannot drive it. You know that it is not real. That is all. Bhagavan in talks says, know that the ego is not real. You are the self. Over. And when thought comes, what should I do? Ignore them. Scorch them by ignoring them. This is Bhagavan's words in gospel. Scorch. They will get scorched if you ignore. Ignore means the moment you know it is not real, naturally you will ignore. Only by knowing that it is not real, you can ignore. And once you touch the deepest being core, you know that everything that arises from it is made of that stuff. Everything that appears in it is only a wave appearing in that ocean. So this killing is a poetical usage. So don't be afraid. Killing means death experience, that's all. The death experience which Bhagavan got, he will give you the same death experience and make you recognize that you have no death. It is not death experience, it is deathlessness experience. You know that death is not there for you. You can no more die. Death is impossible because the existence can never disappear. Na abhavo vidyate satah. That which is can never vanish. So that realization is given by the master, and he removes the illusion that you are this jiva that is being pictured here as kodi tadiyare kollune kattikondengan vaalven arunachala. Arunachala, by getting initiated by you, I can no more be a person, an individual. I am one with you. I am you, you are me. I don't have any existence apart from you. We will continue tomorrow, and tomorrow we are finishing this 7-day session here. Tomorrow the same time, we will perhaps continue next year. So tomorrow the same time we will see. Arunachala Shiva. Arunachala Shiva, Arunachala Shiva, Arunachala, Arunachala Shiva, Arunachala Shiva, Arunachala Shiva, Arunachala. Yato mamatma bhavasitumeva, tato na vachyam mama kinchidasti. Yathataveshtam kurumam tathaiva tvam atmanatham. Ramanam bhajami.